I'm Lee Hatcher with the Human Condition podcast with one of our most popular topics, dealing with difficult people. Why are some people more difficult than others? Why can't they be all perfect like me? There's one particular person that people talk a great deal about today, the narcissist. They're self-centered, loving themselves to death, and often utterly unable to see life from any other perspective than their own. I'm in conversation with Lynn Worsley, clinical psychologist and director of the Resilience Centre.
Narcissism refers to a set of behaviours that is noticed in people who are less likely to have empathy or less likely to be able to feel for other people. However, all of us have aspects of narcissism. All of us are able to behave like a narcissist, and all of us have the capacity to turn into a narcissist.
So is it imagining we're the centre of the universe?
Yes, it's exactly that. It's also, when you see someone who has a narcissistic personality disorder, they're somebody who has an inability to see things from another's perspective. They have an inability to understand that other people have feelings and thoughts and behaviours that are separate to their own.
Zero empathy?
Very much zero empathy. But that doesn't mean they don't understand the person's point of view. They often see the other person's point of view as information that they can manipulate for their own gain.
Clever.
Yes.
How does it develop, Lynn? And when does it develop?
Okay. So how does it develop? What happens is that when we have our development as of ourselves as children, we sort of start out with a sense of we're the only person in the world and other people are there to help us. And as we develop over time, we have experiences with other people where we change that perspective because we have to learn to accommodate other people in our lives. So it's a bit like we move along a line, we move along a spectrum in some ways. And the first part of the spectrum is particularly about, it's all about me. It's rules-based, it's very black and white, and other people are seen as resources. And that's really cute for a 2-year-old, not so cute for a 40-year-old.
But it can start as young as that.
Oh, yes. It's
and
really,
often does.
Well, it's really not necessarily it starts as young as that. That's normal development. But as a narcissist, we'll get stuck in that first stage. And usually we'll go into other stages in our lives as we develop, and we go into the area of life where we want to conform with others and fit in with other people around us. But someone who is narcissistic often has a difficulty in doing that. So they tend to stay very much in their own bubble and still see other people as resources and become a lot more self-opinionated or self-contained, where they don't need others, but if they do need others, they'll use them rather than work with them.
Okay. Can anyone become a narcissist?
Yes, yes. Okay. Anyone can become a narcissist. However, it's a really big question in psychology. Like we, at the moment, we try and work out, you know, how do these the patterns of these behaviours develop or patterns of personality disorders develop, and it's just not a clear cut way. It would be really nice if it was, because we could work with that. Yeah. But essentially, we all have the capacity to be narcissistic, and actually, if we weren't, we wouldn't be healthy. So we all need to have an element of narcissism in us. Otherwise, we wouldn't clean our teeth in the morning.
That's a good point.
We wouldn't brush our hair and wouldn't have showers and we wouldn't look nice.
Yeah.
So really what we need is to have elements of narcissism. That means we're concerned about ourselves and how we fit into the world, but we don't want the elements of narcissism which says other people and other beings around us are there for our own gain.
Yes. So it's healthy to have some self-regard,
yes,
without it being over the top.
Yes.
Self-love.
Yes, that's right.
What about the genetics of it all? Is it likely possible to come from genetics rather than upbringing?
Well, it's a bit of both, but this is where we sort of study it in a lot of detail in psychology. So one of the things that's really interesting is that you do sometimes see a narcissistic trait that goes through families. And sometimes you will see that one of the children is very similar to one of the parents who's a bit more self-opinionated and has quite a large ego. And then you look back and you see a grandfather or a grandmother that's like that as well. You can often see too, that you have families that are, social activists. And that has an element of narcissism in it as well, because they see themselves as, a bit of a savior complex. So they're going to save the world. So
yes.
Is that an environmental development, or is that a genetic? We don't really know.
Or just modeling.
Or is it modeling? That's exactly right. So there is aspects of narcissism that you see with people, what we used to call Asperger's disorder. It's no longer called Asperger's. It's just somebody who's on the spectrum, autism spectrum disorder. But what we do notice is that there is elements that are very similar to narcissism, where there's not the ability to see things from another's perspective. And that, of course, we know in autism is genetic. So we don't really know whether narcissism is genetic, but we certainly have seen people who are sociopathic, people who are psychopathic, that have a genetic component with that in their history. So those are aspects of narcissism which are to the extreme. So we're always aware of someone who has a history or a background in their family of someone who has a narcissistic personality, because when we ask questions, we tend to ask, what were they like? What was this person like in your life? But just because you might have someone like that in your background doesn't mean you're going to turn out like that. It may actually mean that you have to work harder not to turn out like that.
You're listening to the Human Condition podcast. I'm in conversation with Lynn Worsley on dealing with difficult people, especially the narcissist. So how can we guard against becoming a narcissist ourselves? Because Lynn says that's a definite possibility.
I think that's a fantastic question, because what we really need to be asking in our lives at all times is that, how can I be a better person? And really, narcissism is about other people, getting through narcissism and not being a narcissist is about thinking about others. And so I guess if you really are concerned, and I think really all of us should be, all of us should be concerned that we've all got that potential to become quite narcissistic and self-focused, is that really what we need to be doing is spending time thinking about others and doing things for others and practicing thinking for others.
That goes against so much of the grain of our world today, though, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's number one.
Well, we have adverts that say, you deserve this, and you should have, and you've worked hard for, and that's a narcissistic belief system. If we have a system that we start bringing into our lives of, how can I help that other person? Oh my goodness, that person is having a lovely time. I'm going to be happy for them, or I'm going to help that person because they're not so happy, and I might be able to think about what they might need rather than what I think I'd like to need, and I'll give it to them.
Yeah.
That's sort of a practicing outside of yourself thinking. Narcissists will look at another person who's happy and say, I'm jealous of them, or how dare they be happy? They shouldn't have that because they didn't deserve it. Someone who is not a narcissist would say, that is fantastic. Isn't that wonderful? They're having a lovely time, and I'm so pleased for them. And sometimes we have to fake it till we make it.
Social media is blamed for far too many things, not blameless, but it's probably not helped.
No.
This kind of emergence more and more of the narcissistic personality.
Absolutely. We have this situation at the moment where we can put on Facebook all about me.
Look at me.
Look at me. Yes. I'm doing all these wonderful things, and how good am I? And we only post things that are good. However, that is also an opportunity, if you are not narcissistic or you don't want to be narcissistic, to actually be joyful for another person.
Yes.
And that's when you go through and you like their pages and you make a comment and you say, it's good on you, that's great, I'm glad you're so happy. That's a response that is not narcissistic. So while Facebook and social media can promote our narcissistic tendencies by us being all about me, it can also promote our response to other people in a really positive and healthy way.
And also lead other people to different thinking. Might give them pause for thought to say, gee, that's nice.
Yes.
I like to be like that.
Yes, and to be encouraging of others. It actually builds them up. And that, again, is a non-narcissistic response.
What do you reckon the signs would be that we're perhaps changing more to being a more empathetic person?
Kay, one of the things to look out for as you're working on your own building of your own empathy skills is to actually start being aware when you're watching television or watching a movie, when you're moved emotionally. Are you crying because the experience reflects something of your own that's more like a narcissistic response? Or are you crying because you really care for the person that's on the screen? That's a non-narcissistic response. So when you start feeling things for other people, that's an empathic response. And that's lovely. And sometimes it's a process where we are surprised by what moves us. That's when we start moving more into that lovely zone of thinking for other people instead of ourselves.
I'm just trying to think. I'm a bit of a tragic with rom-coms, with some of them. And I think, why am I crying in Notting Hill?
Yes.
In Love Actually. But yeah. I think I'm actually feeling empathy for them.
That's right. That
I'm
would
not
be,
perfect, though.
That would be lovely. You're probably reflecting yourself as well.
I don't know. Gets too complicated. Can a nice person be narcissistic? And I'm not talking about myself there.
Yes.
That's interesting.
A nice person can be narcissistic.
Wow.
One of the reasons why we have such a horrible situations with the Royal Commission that's come out with, paedophile priests and just paedophilia in general, is that they know how to be nice. Mm. They know how to warm to people and to woo a child, and they know how to do things to make other people feel comfortable, and people think they're lovely.
Yes, yes.
And quite often, these lovely people have got this horrible, hidden, narcissistic motivation. And, I think this is what we find so tragic and why it's so hard for us as human beings when we hear the results of the Royal Commission. We also have people who can do good things and they're narcissistic. And I think that's a bit of a struggle as well. So, you know, we've got great social activists out there, and they're only effective is because they think that they are going to make a difference to the world, and so they get up and go. Whereas the rest of us who think, oh, well, who wouldn't want to listen to me, that we wouldn't take the action to do that. So someone has to have an element of narcissism to actually make a go of something.
Let alone survive.
That's right.
For that time.
A politician needs to have...
I was just going to ask you that,
A
yes.
politician needs to have a high level of narcissism, because they then see themselves as having a calling to actually be important enough that people would vote for them. So, you know, our system that we have in terms of voting actually promotes the narcissistic leader.
Does this leave you despondent? Because if all our leaders have narcissistic personality disorder, or a degree of it, it seems somewhat despondent to me.
It is very difficult, but I think what we need to do is actually start having a call to action regarding our development of narcissistic belief systems. And I think in our leaders, those people who are not narcissistic tend to lead the people rather than please the people.
Okay.
And so those people who lead the people actually know the needs of the people and respond to the people's needs, not responding to the people's wants, because then they'll be popular and they'll be voted in again. So we have really a need to challenge our leaders, not necessarily finding leaders who are not narcissistic, but rather challenge those who are narcissistic enough to see themselves as capable of getting up and
yes.
leading our country.
Yeah.
But we also need to be able to challenge them to be empathic enough to understand the needs of the people and responds to need rather than desires and wants, where the selfishness of people will lead the country.
Final question, and it's probably going to be the subject of another podcast in its entirety, I reckon, because it's such a big issue. How do you cope with someone who's around you, alongside you, or close to you, who is narcissistic?
Is there time for a little story this
time? Yeah, story. Go for it.
I want you to imagine that there is this big Rory lion.
Okay.
He's got a big golden mane, and he has a beautiful mane that everyone comments on in his kingdom. And he looks over his kingdom and he looks down and he sees two cats. He sees a black, sleek cat And he thinks, oh, she would look fantastic next to my golden mane. In fact, people would see my golden mane in contrast to her black fur. So I think I'll ask her to join me. And he also sees another cat, and it's a little tabby. And he goes, oh, that tabby's fantastic, because that tabby will blend in with my tail. And so people won't notice the tabby as the tabby's combing my tail. So he asks both cats to come and join him in the kingdom. And he says, you know, you can join me in my kingdom. You can have everything I have, and you can look over here and enjoy this wonderful view, and you can help me to run the kingdom. And so they think it's pretty cool, and off they go. And after a while, the lion's up on the throne, and people walk past and go, oh my goodness, look at that lion's mane, and look at that black cat. Oh my goodness, how lovely they are. And then after a while, the lion goes, oh, you know, how about the black cat? You deal with all of you pay the bills. And if anyone wants to talk to one, just talk to the black cat, because the black cat's fine. And I'll just sit here and do my work and look at the view. And after a while, people stop looking at the lion and they start looking at the cat and going, the cat's amazing, does everything you need, looks great, just go to the cat, forget the lion. And so the lion then starts to put his paw on the cat's tail, because he's thinking, that cat's getting more attention to me. So the cat has to pull away from the lion, and the lion actually gets off the throne in order to pursue the cat to stop him from doing the work.
Wow, yeah.
But in the meantime, there's the tabby. The tabby's there managing to comb the lion's mane, and the lion moves off the throne, and then the tabby decides just to keep running the kingdom and doing all of the jobs that it needs to be done. In the meantime, the lion and the black cat are fighting it out in the corner till they both die. They fight themselves to death.
It's a bit of a shock.
And in the meantime, too, another kingdom sees this beautiful tabby and says, hey, you're a fantastic cat. How about you come and join us? So the moral of the story is,
yes,
which is the smarter cat, the tabby or the black cat? And perhaps we could have a talk about this in another podcast. But if you actually think about yourself as the tabby, the tabby was self-sufficient. The tabby didn't worry about whether people were looking at them. They had a job to do. They knew how to do it well. They also knew how to brush the lion's mane. They knew how to stay out of the way so that lion didn't attack them. The black cat, on the other hand, was too much of a threat. And so, therefore, they both ended up dying as a result. So what we need to be thinking about, if you've got a narcissist in your family, or you're having to happen to have a narcissist that you're married to, or you have a narcissist in your immediate vicinity in your workplace, that what you need to learn to do is to be the tabby. And that's not being a doormat. That's actually not being someone who needs to display their ego so it's in threat.
Lyn Worsley, as usual, and unsurprisingly, what insight, what wisdom. And we'll definitely continue that in another conversation. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. If you have concerns about someone close to you, even how you're travelling yourself, there are so many great resources on the Resilience Centre website, www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.